Maybe you've been in that situation where you're given the opportunity to say something, and it's a moment where this has got to be brilliance. It's got to come out of your mouth. And then you say it, and afterwards you just go, oh man, that came out all wrong. It just doesn't work. That often happens when we have something very important to say and somebody asks us at the very last minute to say it and you haven't really had time to process it all. And so you want to get it out, but then it just doesn't come out right. This week I was over at an assessment process where we have church planters from all over the country come down, couples that want to jump into church planting, and they come to be assessed and they work through a system for a couple of days where we determine their readiness for church planting. Because, you know, church plants, 4 out of 5 church plants fail. And most of the reason that that is because people jump into church planting and they're not ready, kind of like we were when we started Mosaic a few years ago. And, God was very gracious to us. But oftentimes things just play out. And so I had the opportunity to spend time with these church planters with another group of guys and really just assess where they're at. And we were in the middle of the week, and I'm sitting back ready to relax through a seminar that they're going to do. And somebody walks up to me and says, would you mind being on a little panel in about 5 minutes for these church planters? And I go, sure, no problem. And this is what they say to me. Would you tell them the one thing that you think every church planter needs to know? So there goes my relaxing seminar. I'm sitting back going, the one thing? I mean, the one thing? What if I tell them the wrong thing? What if I say, this is the one thing you need to know, and off they go and plant churches based on that one thing, and it's a completely wrong thing? I mean, that's some serious pressure right there. And so I started processing, going, God, I need something good to tell these people. You know, whenever we're thrown into a situation where at the last minute we realize the important things we've got to say now, and then we end up trying to figure out how it's going to work. And this really got me thinking. I wonder, if I think about God, what the one thing is that he would probably want to say to humanity or did say to humanity that he would term or consider to be the most important thing. Here it is. This is the one thing that I want to make sure you don't miss, that I want to make sure you catch in the story. I mean, you can miss everything else, but this one right here, you can't miss this one. Now, what would that one thing be? And I'm sure if I asked you right now, what's the most important thing God would want you to know? We'd have 612 different answers right in this room. God's love is everlasting. Truth is all that matters. I mean, we go back and forth from one side to the other and be all over the place on what matters most. But you know, it's funny. I think at the end of the day, most of the things that God would want to say or did say to us that really matter come out of something that probably matters most. Would you guys turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Romans? If you don't have a Bible, under our chairs, we've got a bunch of Bibles. Grab one of those. If you don't have a good Bible at home, take one of ours home with you. Write your name in it. Keep it for yourself. We'd love for you to have a good Bible. Page 785, Romans chapter 8. We're going to go to Romans chapter 8. Page 785 of our Bibles, or Romans chapter 8 in your Bibles. And we're going to start in verse 1 of Romans chapter 8. Now, in this particular passage here, God is going to lay out for us in this passage something that is absolutely critical to the experience of being human and the experience of knowing God in that process. This is what it says, Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Read with me. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Wow, that's a jumble of words, isn't it? What is that saying? Well, in essence, basically, it's boiling it down to this. When we were in the Garden of Eden, God created us in perfect relationship with Him. He created us in perfect freedom. He created us in paradise. And we walked away from that. We gave up on that. We said our way is better. And we lost the opportunity to have all of that. As we walked out, God came in the beginning of the human experience and gave us the law. We see that in Exodus, in Deuteronomy, in Leviticus, and several other places where the law is laid out for us. And the law was that thing that said, this is how you ought to live. This is what living perfectly looks like. This is the demands that God has for you to have a right relationship with Him. And so He gave us the law, and we began a process of trying to work through that law. And you know what happened? All the law ended up doing was condemning us, didn't it? Because it was weakened by our sinful nature. In other words, every time we came to the law and said, I gotta live by the law, we found ourselves failing because we couldn't live up to the law because our sinful nature would drive us in that direction. So what this passage is saying is that what the law was incapable of doing, in that it wanted to rescue you, but it couldn't rescue you because your sinful nature weakened that process, I have done for you instead. Where the law was weakened, I have strengthened. What is the answer to that process? It is that He sent His Son Jesus to this planet to redeem us from the process of the law. I mean, He literally says it. Where the law condemned us, Christ condemned sin in us. And so He broke the bondage that we were stuck in. Pretty amazing, isn't it? I mean, this is the message that God wants to send to us. Out of that message comes, my love is everlasting. Out of that message comes, you will never be separated from me. Out of that message comes redemption and rescue and salvation. I mean, all the words that you go, these are the important words. They all come out of this message that what the law couldn't do for you, He did for you through Jesus Christ. You know what's amazing? That you start realizing, once you capture the fact that God wants you and I to know that for us as human beings, the answer to being rescued from the bondage that we live in, the separation from God, is His Son, Jesus Christ. If you grab that message and go, that's what God wants us to know, and then you jump back into the Old Testament, you see the most wonderful, magical thing appear in the Old Testament. That God was whispering this, shouting this to us from the very beginning of time. You guys know we're in the middle of what? The prophets and the kings, right? And so we've been traveling through the prophets and the kings, and we've had a blast at it. We've jumped into several stories. We've done Hezekiah most recently, and we talked about how that whole thing happened during his time. We had Isaiah on the scene, and we had Micah on the scene, and we talked about his father before him and how all that traveled through. And we've talked about the northern kingdom and how the northern kingdom's been unfolding and all the prophets up there that were speaking into the northern kingdom. We've talked about all the nations around them. Assyria's rising to power. They come in 722 BC and wipe out the northern kingdom. And prophets are speaking into that northern kingdom going, do it God's way, do it God's way. And they're not listening. And then in the southern kingdom, you have this rise slowly that you start feeling right now, kind of right where we're at. We're right in Hezekiah's time, and you can feel Babylon rising. I mean, you can almost feel it next to you. And you know what's going to happen next? Babylon is going to rise up. They're going to come in, and they're going to occupy the southern kingdom. The southern kingdom will still exist, but they're going to occupy them. And then after a while, over the next few hundred years, they're going to take them captive. And we're going to walk into the Babylonian captivity. And people like Daniel will rise to the surface, and Jeremiah. And you're like, woo, it's amazing. And these stories just absolutely blow the mind. And as we walk through, what we see is that God, speaking through His prophets, speaks directly into the situations of the day. He speaks directly into the things that are unfolding in their current circumstances. The prophets come in and they tell them exactly what God is wanting them to do and exactly what will happen if they do or if they don't. And you see this beautiful dynamic of God at work in the everyday, in the every circumstance, not missing the fact that He cares deeply about the people on the ground. And He cares deeply about the kings and the nation that He loves so much. But you know what's happening at exactly the same time? As you rise up and you come up and you take a bird's eye view, you see something you couldn't have begun to imagine if you don't do that. It's kind of like that idea of the earth being flat. You guys remember? I mean, this, I don't know if you know this, maybe you don't if you're a little younger, but they always teach you in school. People used to think the earth was flat. You remember when you first found that out? I was trying to think back yesterday. When did I first hear that somebody believed the earth was flat? I couldn't quite remember what my first thought was, but I could imagine what it was. Who on earth in their right mind would have thought that the earth was flat? No, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, have you seen the planet? I mean, it's a big circle. I mean, if you go out, there it is. It sits there. It's round. I mean, even if you go up the Citrus Tower, for crying out loud, you can see the curvature of the earth. I mean, it doesn't take much. I mean, how you could imagine that the earth was flat doesn't make any sense. But you know what's funny? We can't possibly put ourselves in a world where there was no height, where you couldn't get up and you couldn't see anything beyond just looking straight. If you just walked on this planet, it would seem to be flat, wouldn't it? I mean, you're just traveling along, and the further you walk, it just, what does it stay? It stays flat. You don't suddenly start curving over the side of the earth, and then suddenly you find yourself upside down going, wow, this is amazing. It just stays flat. So no wonder people thought it was flat, because they were stuck right there on the ground, and that's all they could fathom. And so when they looked at the ocean, if you looked out, it looked like there was an end to it, and they weren't sure where the water all went, but they for sure knew that the water went somewhere, and that was flat. And then what began to happen? Some people began to do studies and said, you know what, I think the earth is round. And they were thought as insane people. Even the church said, you're insane. And then as time unfolded and we were able to stretch our way up, we got to see something we'd never seen before, a much, much bigger picture. As a matter of fact, people found these things called rockets, and they would shoot up in rockets. And do you remember the first time we got a picture of the planet from space, and you saw the round planet and you went, wow, that's beautiful. And so it is with this. You look at the prophets and the kings, and you realize that God is at work on the ground, but at exactly the same time, God is doing something much, much bigger. He's speaking into humanity a message that is about the most important thing he wants us to know. Do you realize that in the Old Testament, there are over 300 direct, specific prophecies about the coming Messiah, Jesus? I mean, you've got, just to give you an idea, you have Isaiah, who's going to speak directly about the coming Messiah, Samuel, Micah, Hosea, Jeremiah, Malachi, Daniel, Zechariah, Zephaniah. I mean, you start going through the prophets and you start realizing, wait a second, during the time of speaking directly into the lives of the small stories going on the planet, God is speaking out of these prophets a story that is unfolding that is huge and important, and it all speaks to the most important message he has for humanity, that he will rescue us, and he will rescue us through a Messiah, a coming rescuer. And that Messiah will be someone very specific. Listen to this. I'm just going to read for you a quick list of some of the prophecies so you can hear how specific these prophecies are. These are all prophecies prophesied before Jesus ever showed up on the planet. Born of a virgin. You try that one for statistical information. What are the chances that someone's going to be born of a virgin? Descendant of Abraham, from the tribe of Judah, from the house of David, born in Bethlehem, taken to Egypt, Herod's killing of the infants, anointed by the Holy Spirit, heralded by a messenger of the Lord, would perform miracles, would preach good news, would minister in Galilee, would cleanse the temple, would first present himself as king 173,880 days from the decree of the rebuilding of Jerusalem, would enter Jerusalem as a king on a donkey, would be rejected by the Jewish people, would die a humiliating death, and then these are the prophecies about that humiliating death. He would be rejected, betrayed by a friend, sold for 30 pieces of silver, silenced. He will be silent before his accusers. He will be mocked. He will be beaten. He will be spit on. He will be pierced through the hands and pierced through the feet. He would be crucified with thieves. He would pray for his persecutors. He would be pierced in the side. He would be given gall and vinegar to drink. No bones would be broken in his body. He would be buried in a rich man's tomb. They would cast lots for his garments. He would rise from the dead. He would ascend into heaven, and he would sit down at the right hand of God. Now, we can't confirm the sitting down at the right hand of God yet, but when you die, I guarantee you're going to go, no way, that one's true too. And these are just a few of them. Just a few of the prophecies that God spoke through the prophets during the time that their stories were unfolding, and all they could experience was what was on the ground. But in the meantime, God is speaking to us, to all of us, to humanity, about the most important message he has for us. I mean, listen to this. I just want to read this to you, just so you get an idea of what we're talking about here, okay? There was a guy, his name is Professor Peter Stoner, okay? He was the head of the Department of Mathematics and Astronomy for Pasadena City College and the chairman of the science division for Westmont College in the 1950s and 60s. Stoner calculated the probability of one man fulfilling only a handful of the over 300 messianic prophecies. He published this in Science Speaks, Scientific Proof of Accuracy of the Prophecies of the Bible. Stoner concluded that the probability of one person fulfilling just 8 of the specific prophecies was 1 chance in 10 to the 17th power, okay? Just to give you an idea here, watch this. You ready for this? How about one person fulfilling 48 of the 300 prophecies? Stoner calculated these odds at 1 chance in 10 to the 157th power. That's 157 zeros. Just to give you an idea, when you talk about a trillion, you know, like we spend $1 trillion. A trillion, if you spent $1 a second, you know how long it would take you to spend $1 trillion? And that's 12 zeros, okay? It would take you 31,500 years if you spent $1 a second to spend $1 trillion. That's how big we're talking here. And we're not at 12 zeros, we're at 17 and then at 157 zeros. From a statistical standpoint, we're at impossibility. Listen to this. The American Scientific Affiliation wrote this about him. The manuscript for Science Speaks has been carefully reviewed by a committee of the American Scientific Affiliation members and by the executive council of the same group, and has been found, in general, to be dependable and accurate in regard to the scientific material presented. The mathematical analysis included is based upon principles of probability, which are thoroughly sound, and Professor Stoner has applied these principles in a proper and scientific, convincing manner. So what we're saying here is that when you look at God speaking through the prophets and through the Old Testament saying, I'm sending my son and he will be your Messiah and he will rescue you from what the law is incapable of doing. He will condemn sin in you and he will bring you redemption, which is rescue from bondage. Jesus is coming. God wanted to make sure that we didn't miss this message. He wanted to make absolutely certain that this one wouldn't be missed. So he made a point to go in and say, we are going to do this right. And we are going to make sure we tell everybody Jesus is coming. To the point where his prophecies are so specific that you couldn't miss it if you tried. You know what we get to do? We sitting here in this room, we get to have a bird's eye view of this whole deal. See, back in the Old Testament, it was difficult. Even being a Jewish person on the ground when Jesus was on the planet must have been a difficult thing at best. Because you've spent 400 years becoming religious and you've got all these laws that you live by, and now suddenly there's this Messiah and you can't figure out how to reconcile him with the law. And so you get stuck in the law and you leave him out. And that was one of the prophecies, that the Jewish people would reject the Messiah. But it must have been difficult. I don't envy being a Jewish person in the time of Christ. That must have been very difficult. But we don't get that difficulty because we get to be here. We get to look back at all the prophecies and all the statistics and all the stuff, and we get to go, wow. And then we look at Jesus's life and all the history, not just biblical history, but extra biblical history. And we see how this whole thing played out. And you know where this all leads us? It leads us to this place where I start thinking about my life. And I start thinking about the life I so often live. Because you know what's really amazing? I get to look at the Bible and the message that God has, and I realize God did not take 5 minutes to think this one through. No one came to God and said, you got 5 minutes to tell the church planters the most important thing they need to know. God knew before the beginning of time that this was going to be the message he was going to tell us. So he could strategically, carefully, and intentionally play this out for us. And you see it weaved into everything. And I get to look at that from a bird's eye view, and I get to be amazed at that. And you know what I do then? I jump into my own life, and I get right back down on the ground, and I think the earth is flat. Everything about my life is about a flat planet. I keep going, God, why me? Why this now? Why now? God, what kind of a God loves you and then has these circumstances play out? I ask constantly, God, what do I do with this? And oh my gosh, I'm so worried about tomorrow and how we're possibly going to live. And we start there. And we start realizing that before you know it, we live right here on the ground. We stare forward and all we can see is one big, straight, flat planet before us. Every circumstance is a question for us. And rightly so. I mean, many of you are sitting here and you're facing some of the largest circumstances you've probably faced in a very long time from a scary perspective. Many of you are facing circumstances that you don't even know how to wrap your minds around. Some of you sitting here have walked through life circumstances that honestly none of us can wrap our minds around. I mean, when you walk into the big tragedies on this planet, the loss of a child or the loss of a friend or the loss of a parent or we look at disease and difficulty in that arena. Oh, you start talking about those kinds of things and it's things we can't even wrap our minds around. And for us to be able to sit down here and say, God's good. That's difficult. It's just plain difficult. But we find ourselves stuck there so often. We get stuck there and we live there. And we're never able to jump out of that and see something so much bigger, so much better going on. See, the story of God's never changed. What God was doing in the time of the prophets and the kings is what God is still doing now. He is intricately at work in the specific circumstances of your life. He cares deeply about you, and he is going to speak into your life through his word and through the community of believers around you, that family of the church. And he's going to come, and he's going to comfort you, and he's going to love you, and he's going to encourage you, and he's going to strengthen you, and he's going to care about your everyday. But while he's doing that, he is also using your story for something much bigger than you and I could ever imagine. Can you even fathom what it must be like or what it must have been like for Isaiah or Jeremiah or Micah to sit and watch Jesus on the planet and watch the story unfold and realize that their life mattered so much that they were speaking to humanity some of the most important things the planet would ever need to know. That God cared so much about their story that he used it for his story. That must have been an amazing thing. I would love to look at Isaiah and say, what did it feel like when the first prophecy you'd spoken out came true in Jesus? I mean, did you like do backflips or something? And just go, wow, I'm part of something so huge. And you know what's crazy? None of that's changed for us. Because in the New Testament, God said to you and I, if you've come to know Jesus as Savior, if you've realized this message that the Messiah has come and he came to redeem you, then I have something for you. Your story now matters for something much bigger than you could ever have imagined. Because my call on your life is to go out there into the world and to allow your story to become a light to the world and salt to the earth. That is that our story, our circumstances, the way we respond to them, our actions, our words are part of the story of continuing to share the greatest, most important news the planet will ever know. That there was one that came, that he is the Messiah, and that he has come to rescue humanity from the condemnation that we're stuck with because the law can't rescue us. And as we get to go out there today, we will face circumstances that will rock your world. I have no doubt about it. I will, you will. Welcome to life. We will face joys that will cause our hearts to soar. You will. Welcome to life. We will face things every day. Some we will question, some we will desire. But every one of those moments, if you are a Christ follower, is now part of a much bigger story. It is part of the opportunity that you've been given to be light and salt to the world. We are called out to allow our lives to become part of God's amazing story. I want you to turn to the book of Romans again to chapter 1. Page 781 of our Bibles. I hope you'll take this verse home and memorize it if you haven't already. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, it says this. Just let these words sink in. Paul is writing and he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. This is the same message, isn't it? That your righteousness cannot save you because the law will always condemn you. But a righteousness has been revealed from God that is bigger than the law. It is Jesus. And there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because he can do what the law could not. He can rescue us from our sin. And Paul says, I am not ashamed to speak that message out. Because it's the most important thing people need to know. We are walking into a unique time the next 2 weeks. We're walking into Easter. And in our culture, if you wipe all the other cultures off, in our culture here in the Western world, Easter and Christmas are interesting times when it comes to spirituality. Because it is the time of the year where most of us are more open to the things that God is up to than we are any other time of the year. You've heard the neat little terms, the creasters, those who come to church on Christmas and Easter. I love that. I know many of them. They're dear friends. They're the people that go, in order to be right with God, I at least need to do those two things. Got to pull that one off. But you know what's really cool? Nothing wrong with that. Because it's an incredible, wonderful time of the year for you and I, as people who have discovered the magical, wonderful, extraordinary beauty of the redemptive process of Jesus Christ. It is an opportunity for you and I to step into the worlds of our friends in a way we usually cannot, to speak into their lives of the wonder of Jesus Christ. And in the next 2 weeks, may I challenge you, if you are here and you know Christ, may I challenge you, go out there and take this message and use the opportunities given to you to speak this message into the lives of your friends. I don't know what it's going to look like for you. Maybe it's inviting your friend to church. Or maybe it's just inviting your friend to dinner. Maybe it's just spending time with them at their Easter party. The point is not to figure out some crazy way to get in to tell them some crazy story. The point is that you and I, just like the prophets before us, hold in our hand the most important thing humanity will ever need to know, that a Messiah has come to rescue us. Don't be ashamed of that. It is the greatest news the planet has ever heard. And I pray that if we learn anything from God's story during the prophets and the kings, it would be this. That though God speaks into our everyday life all the time, and he loves us right there, God allows us to be part of a much bigger story than that. The story of history unfolding as the redemptive process takes place, that God is rescuing mankind from sin. May we be heralds of that news through the life we live and the words we speak. Would you pray with me? Lord God, I just thank you so much for the incredible opportunity that it is for us to be able to live in a world where we see the beauty of the gospel, where we get to be at a bird's eye level, God, where we get to see what you've done over history. I mean, 300 prophecies, God, specific, laid out. Thank you, God, for just thank you for making it so clear to us. And God, I want to thank you most of all that it's not about the 300 prophecies or about the message. It's about the result that takes place now that we have a Messiah. Thank you for redeeming my heart. Thank you for rescuing me from the condemnation of the law. Thank you for rescuing me from my own failure. Thank you for taking care of it. God, I know without a shadow of a doubt that the righteousness that has been revealed through Jesus Christ is truly the most extraordinary thing on the planet. Would you take each of us, God, each of us, and would you make us a voice to that message? A voice to that message by loving our circle of influence so badly that they won't know what to do with themselves. By demonstrating to them life as we know it in the freedom that comes from Jesus Christ. By living with them, walking with them, and walking with each other and living with each other. Doing this together, God. Would you allow us to be a community that takes seriously the privilege it is to know that we hold in our hands the greatest message this planet will ever need to know, that you came to rescue us, and that we can believe in you and give our lives to you. The story of your cross, your sacrifice, is extraordinary. Help us to speak it out, Jesus.